recovering addict named Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Clean through the grace of God. And the rooms are Narcotics Anonymous. I don't take this lightly. I want to thank the committee. If you're new, welcome. If you've been here for a while, welcome. If you're the potential addict, welcome. Literally talks about the potential addict could be here for years not know they're addict in this program. Based on Al denial. That includes myself. Always a great honor to serve the fellowship because serving is serving. And I hear a lot of things in meetings because I go to meetings every day. I like to go 2 days a week, so I don't know which two, so I go every day. The joy is in the journey. And if you knew, in this program is staying on the road that makes it a journey. Because if you get off the road, you might not be on the journey. And joy is a thing I found out in my life, even with the step process and the tradition process and the God process and concept knowledge. If I ain't in this journey, anything that I know, if I don't apply it to my life, I'm on a journey, but I'm kind of confused on the journey. So it's just an honor to be clean, and sometimes to be clean, when the liturgy tells me, that's not going to be enough. I can be clean or abstinent for years. Unless I start to practice the spiritual principle of this program, I'm just hanging around in here on the journey. And if you knew, you need to know that to get joy, you have to give up stuff to get to the joy. You have to be able to give up stuff that you actually like, which is really six-step stuff. And time you get down to that part of the program, the identification going to be a little bit clear. I'm a recovering addict from Baltimore, Maryland. I got about four home groups because I serve all of them. One of them is called From the Bottom Up, Serenity Village 1 and 2, Village of Hope, and the Best is Yet to Come. So I'm a NA recovering addict with an NA sponsor that lived the NA program and got an NA way of life. So I'm not a recovering addict. You hear say that this program is my whole life. It's my whole life. I'm making a group report. I ain't got secrets, not after 23 years. Secrets kill. I don't have business because I'll become a part of the business. To me, that lowers me to an insanity that I want to practice because I'm holding a damn secret and don't want to tell nobody about it. So I have to watch what I say out my mouth, and I don't have to do that because I have changed. I got some kind of order to my life, and I have responsibility as an NA member if it's not in order to talk about that. Because in this program, it's a series of surrenders. And this ain't no one trip. Because to make the joy in the journey, you had to be vulnerable enough here to reveal your whole life. And I know something else, too. I have to have the ability to have a sponsor and to be being sponsored. You have to be able to be being sponsored by your sponsor. That means you can't dictate how the sponsor should sponsor you. So if you're doing that, get out your denial. Be open enough to receive the help he's going to give you. This program is not based on whether you're in a relationship. But that's part of the journey. And if you knew, I'm going to give it to you real raw right now. It's not sexually transmitted. Get all the sex you want. You're going to need a program. You're going to need it before you start and after. And with no program, you headed for some drama. Because you're in the step process, and being serene here does not make you not accountable for your own pain. Because every individual has a right to their own pain here. That's part of the joy. And you have to accept when you're in pain and share the wealth, the spiritual wealth we talk about, is you ain't used today. It should give you, when you wake up, when I wake up, I should be over-gratified that I ain't using. Because if this fire died, that I don't want to live this way, see, the old way of thinking can come back any given time. Spare the moment. Without my notice, even at the convention, you can practice some insanity. Even in the healing process, I ain't zestfully clean. I'm recovering. I like the way I live. And then when I ain't living right, I should like that too. That's the joy too. You have to accept imperfection to grow. It always ain't going to be right. Sometime the bill's going to back up. You might lose something. Somebody might pass in your family. Literature set all that up in our lives. We got to it. We just took it as a minimum of concern. We might encounter incurable diseases. We already working with the one that can really kill us. Addiction. That's what keep you in the joy. What make it a journey is to take the step process to make it an uphill journey. Can't be his stepless. They used to have a good old meeting for some members that we still have empathy for called NUTS. That's not using the steps. Well, I'm using them and I'm still nuts. Well, you know what? My life depends on what I do here for the next recovering addict. When you feel like it's all about you, you'd have missed everything here you're supposed to be really doing here on the journey. This process get good and then it get real, real quick. When you identify yourself as an addict here, you really open the doors into your entire life. Now, if you base it on a person, place, or thing, you might kind of interrupt yourself, and you might interrupt what God really have for you, because if you think it's in a person, place, or thing, he might show you something different. Because it's always going to come a point in the recovery land is like on this journey for your joy, you have to give up this pain in the meeting to expose that pain to get the joy. Because sharing is only half of the process. Because you shared a hell of a meeting is what you did outside the meeting after you shared. Because I got a disease will meet me at the door after I leave the podium, meet me right there. I got a healthy respect for this disease. And I got self-centered fear like and all like the next addict. But you know what? I'm finding out mine just ain't lasting that long because I'm able to challenge some of the stuff that I do fear. And I don't have to be in a box with the fear. Don't box the newcomer up where they're afraid to do anything. They want to be on the journey too. But in here, you got to earn your own stripes. You got to earn your keep here. And how you do that is somebody having your back and having some unconditional love in your life. When we share our experience, strength, and hope here, this is not no intellectual exercise. We're not doing this for stripes. If you're working for God, you're a messenger and you don't even know it yet. What I do is get outside of me and he already in. See, the master running this. So when I come up here, I really don't have to get ready because I'm already ready. It's just what we do here, we practice this way of life. And if you have a problem, a particular problem with your life, when you expose it, you know that the problem dies in the light. What made this a journey? Everything count here. I know some members that talk about the struggle. I do too. Because you can't share your struggle. You might be stuck in it too long where you forget to ask for your help. What the 12 steps say, sometimes the addict with a lot of clean time is in more danger with complacency when they can't ask for help. Don't look at me like I don't need no help. I still need help after 23 years. Needed more now than I did then. But I already got the tools to survive my emotions. When I crossed over one night and I was in my place of living in Washington, D.C., where I did the fourth step at, see, that kicked the door open. See, he let us in, then you got to kick it open with your intervention, because God with us in anything we do. Don't think he ain't. Don't think you getting away. You might get by, but you won't get away. No step work, die. Don't hold yourself up and hold other people accountable for your process that you're supposed to be in. We just going to push you to say, this will work for me. So it'll work for you. That keep me on the journey. I ain't got too big for this. When you judge folks in this program on this journey, I hope you don't need them for the same problem. Because you're going to have enough humility to ask them, even if you don't want to. I don't care what kind of particular problem a recovering addict you having in their life. In the literature says anything that happens in a recovering addict's life is material for sharing. People say, I'm going to go to my sponsor. But sometimes my sponsor don't even have all the living skills that I'd already acquired. And that's not being a particular shot to him. I might be in an area where he can't relate. So when you believe solely in your sponsor, suppose the next member besides you got the experience you need for your life. That don't mean I can't go to my sponsor. But I learn how to walk too here. Uphill journey. Every time I think I'm on Knob's Hill, I slide back down the wall a little bit. You can't do this looking cute all the time. You can't do it looking good with a new outfit all the time. You had to hurt sometime in places you can't even touch. The inside. Well, you know, the literature talks about this and people minimize it. I don't, because I have enough living experiences clean. When they said joy come from the journey, you know, if you knew, we know you came from the other journey. That's active addiction. That's a journey too. I come from a corner where I could fit in all four squares. And I'm grateful that I made it here. And I ain't forgot. I remember when. Because what happened is, the self-centeredness will move you around so much that you'd be thinking you'd be doing the right thing and you'd be doing the wrong thing for the wrong reason. So that's always make me take a spot check of what am I really doing in my life. Because unmanageability can plague you the whole time you're here. And if that's your only dilemma, you can straighten that out. Can't get mad with people about their dilemma. If they stay stuck in it 10 years, where's the solution? We talk about solutions in here. We learn how to be solution-oriented. You ain't going to be problem-less. You just got to get a solution for the problem you're in. And when you're really recovering, it might come from a memory you don't even know. Might give you something you really ain't looking for, like real truth. Like if you stop doing what you're doing, you'll stop getting what you're getting. Real simple stuff. Because if I come to you with a particular problem, I'm asking for help when I tell you what the problem is. That don't mean I'm going to get the solution right away. I don't have an automatic God, you know, because the third step talks about it's shown in the way we live. If it's shown in the way we live on this journey, then we can't be phony in here. We can't allow people to think we live so good and live crazy at home and treat everybody else and our family members and our spouses like crap and come in here and hug everybody in the meeting. Part-time empathy. You say you got empathy, you got it all the time. Say you got a program, you got it all the time. You say you got a hell of a prayer life, you got it all the time. But what leads us up the journey is the spiritual principles. You can get joy from a lot of things, but the real illusion is instant gratification is not joy. That's just a feeling that's going to last for a minute. Maybe five if you get good. And you know the big one, it gets taboo that, I ain't going to say what members talk about. I'm going to share what I'm going to talk about. The literature states that relationships could be a painful area. That means to me now, after years of unhealthiness and in and out, it's over now what? That means that I better be in my right frame of mind. And then I got to hear where I'm going at when I start doing my picking. I better hit program stuff instead of the insanity. Because if you ain't nobody talking about no program stuff, you going for an extra dose of insanity. You don't hear them talk about no step process because she look good. She got another process. Kill if you don't do what she say. You can be around a person for years and not know them. Because when you got joy in your life, people see that and they tap into that joy. But you got to have the right to earn your own joy here. And it's going to come from the steps. The ability to change, well, how can you change unless you ain't got a seventh step in your life when you humbly got to ask him to help you with what you can't help yourself with? That's what the seventh step say. I humbly ask him. You ain't him. So when you ask your husband to humbly ask you, he can help you to in the husband area. He just can't help you in the God area. Because you love him so unmercifully like, you got to understand that he your soulmate, but you got another mate you got to go to. And if you don't go, it can be disastrous. I'm so glad that I had a program for most of mine, Sandy started. And I was still on the journey. Don't miss that newcomer. Don't let nobody tell you they ain't had pitfalls here. You got to talk about losing stuff, the job, house, penniless. After you get up to the podium and brag about what you got. If you lose it, make a group report you lost it so God can put you in the planning business so you can go back and get it again. Don't judge the hell out of the member that had a pitfall because yours might be the same one. Now, if they get new stuff and you sitting there, you know God in the area. You got to have an open mind in this camp. Don't get angry with the member that can speak real clear because the problem with literature is language. That means you change your language. After some practicing, we can't do this without practicing. It ain't no perfection. Sometimes we the most imperfected people to learn how to get our help. And we fall off the cliff on the journey. You got to take falls in here to get your life together. You can't grow here without pain. Only people don't have pain is people don't take risks. Sit here and no risk addict is a good clean addict. But your defects of character are going to show up a little later. I'm going to get a chance to work on mine a little faster because I'm risky. And I believe the literature. See, it ain't going to take you a while when it's saying the text say God already knows all this stuff. That's minimum in some people's life because their image time and ego tell them, well, I can do this. I'm making a group report. Go right ahead. Because you got to be able to give up the pain and suffering in your life to recover. You got to know what you like. A healthy sixth step is, can you really give up the shit you like? What is it? Do you like multiple sex partners? Do you know how unsafe that is? Do you practice safe sex all the time if you're single? Don't you dare to have no newcomer think that bullshit. So if you don't, you got if you sponsoring people and leading them, you got to share your whole damn life with them. This ain't no part-time program. In the journey, what make it a journey is you talk about every aspect of your life, your feeling of journey, your emotions. This spiritual authority is turning to spiritual principles now. That's what make it a journey. You take a fall in here sometimes. Sometimes you be penniless. You got to be able to have decent reaching out skills when you ain't got nothing. You got to raise your hand and say, I ain't got nothing. With time clean. Don't let your image block you in here. And because you got a lot of time, you might not have a lot enough days yet. You forgot about your 30-day walk when you was clueless. Because I ain't going to get to that part of the literature and say, after I get my life together, you got to know what says it after that line. I can handle drugs. See, to get joy, you got to be able to give up all the insanity, which you thought was joy, that brought you nothing but pain. I tried to make this person have a program. They just didn't have it. Now that I got a clue that I ain't no victim. I knew that from the first day. So you interact with folks just in the name of love, for some love or a void feeling, ain't even going to last that long. And you buy into that, and they go in your spirit, and then you're stuck. Then you got the ability to get out, but the feeling's so good, you stay. That's called settling if you knew. You settling for a feeling when you really need love, and God already got that in you, so why don't you try to work on you and get it? So after you go through this kind of, with time clean, see what a person in my process tell myself, I can do something and not get away. I just got a time limit on mine. That's still insanity. How you going to give yourself a time limit in a day at a time program? We got a daily reprieve. So if you talk about next week, you might be in the wrong meeting. You talk about Sunday. It ain't Sunday. It's Saturday, baby. My disease can't differentiate what time I'm going and when I ain't. And when I make new goals and personal mindsets in my life, I know it, but my disease don't know it. So I got need time. I need time to heal. That's what make it a journey. You get to be in this process, stay for a while. Then you got the clue that you better get yourself moving, or you really just gonna be abstinent for a period. Then you hit the step process only to find out you ain't zestfully clean. Then you get to move around and pick somebody insane. I'm just sharing my hope. Because if you got them out here, it was like shopping in a veterans. It's all used goods here. Ain't nobody unique here. Either they have potential or they've been there before. So it's good to know when you get in your right spirit, you can relate to folks that stand on this journey. The joy come from knowing that you've been through a lot of stuff in your life and you survive in your emotions. Even when all the shit in your life seem like it's really crazy, you need money, you owe everybody, or the bills backed up, you forgot that God gave you the ability to even owe somebody. You missed that part. When you was using, you owed people and you was hiding. You ain't got to hide now. You just got to tell them you ain't got it and when you going to give it to them. So stand at making the joy. Joy is a dangerous word, because when you say you got joy, you got to be related to three things. To God and your understanding, yourself, and some people. It's a connection here we get from each other. We just don't come here to play and have a social gathering. We connect with each other's spirit. Even if it's on an intimate level, that means ain't no sex involved if you knew. Now, if your disease come up, you should let the other person know, I'm thinking about you in a different way now, and this ain't program stuff. This is me talking. You got to get some clarity around here. Because this disease will pull a veil over your eyes. It'll be down, and then it'll be up. We talk about the real deal in here. That's what make joy, joy. You can't be phony in a spiritual program. And if you being phony, you can sit here for years, not a damn soul will know who you are. And that's a really crazy feeling. You've been here almost 20 years, don't nobody know you. You ain't shared nothing in these meetings. We don't do stuff for grandiosity, but we do believe our primary purpose is carrying the message. So you can get your little miserable ass self out the way and start your real Shan. Come on, let's hear that Shan you don't want to tell us. Do that Shan. Like you like girls after midnight. Now I know I ain't the long range in this area. But you know what? Everything gets sick when you get sick of yourself. That's what make it a journey. See, you got to have the ability. And then you got to express the building. You can't stop this on your own. Hide it and see what happens. Then you got emotional maturity only come when we develop as people with a spiritual program. And then when you get emotional maturity, you just leave stuff alone that you used to do. It'll come foreign to you. You just won't like it. You won't like a trick. And then you can go back to the old way of thinking. You got that right all the time. Because if somebody that you got your life, you want something from them, if they're your mate, you got to start expressing what you want from them. Not dictating. It's fine line. Because when you ask them for it, if they don't give it to you, shit, Addie's got ideas. They're going someplace else. You need to keep it real. Now, if you share with them for real, then you might get it for real. You minimize it, then you just get the same stuff. That's my experience. I get the same stuff when I show up in the same place at the same time looking for the same insanity with no solution. That's still on the journey, though. All my journey ain't sweet. I ain't had no sweet journey where I come through here like I got a bulletproof shield around my whole body or something. I ain't got pain here. I've been clean here 23 years. You don't get that without some suffering. If you can use a dictionary and look up patience, some of the terminology is going to be long-suffering. So if you're suffering, good. That don't mean you ain't going to change. That means you got to heal from that. You can't, you know what, we could heal ourselves. This room wouldn't be this crowded. We're looking for a solution. Well, what was it like for you? I did the same shit and I got the same thing. Ain't no whole lot of theory. Some people think they can recover off theory and intellect. That don't work here. Well, suppose you do that. What the literature says, if you don't want it, just stay here, run around in here, you bounce off the goddamn walls, then you'll start using the steps. Be sponsorless, you'll be a damn fool. You'll run around here with a resume for a sponsor, you ain't never read the damn pamphlet. It says pick fool, somebody working out 12 steps, and then you better be standing to be sponsored. Tell me, well, I'm going to do it like this. You got 90 days, you going to tell your sponsor you going to do it like this. You remember, he helping you. Two-way street. Fool, I did the same thing when you did. Went to the convention with 90 days and filled it up, run around looking for a girl, and I didn't even know who I was yet. Ain't have no clue. Did you think I got a girl? No, I had to keep coming. I ain't having enough time. Still on the journey. So 23 years later, when you make what they call a list, don't get surprised why all the people on the damn list. You didn't make them victim. You was the goddamn victim because you're going to have to put them on the list. You in people's lives just for one particular thing. You should have told them you wanted sex, and it wouldn't have been a whole 5 or 6 year surrender. Just tell them what you want, baby. The night only? Now, you know we can't do nothing one time. Shit, I went to detox 3 times while I got there. So God know all our movements. Some people is not moved by the master know everything we do. And we try to make ourselves think, like, if I get time, it's just that I'm flawless in this earth. That's bullshit. Go into the area. Same results. Results count in recovery if you knew. I got you. So the joy always going to be in the journey. You got to talk about everything to make it a journey. Stop cheating yourself in this goddamn camp. You got the ability to share. You're only sharing in particular places. Well, how's your damn sharing then? If she left you, why don't you just get to that and go on and we can get to the meeting now? We can get to your goddamn honesty. See, when I got clean, they didn't give me the luxury of trying to, like, kill myself. They said, Slim, cut it off. Shut up. You use drugs and that's what you know most about. Sit down. Get that coffee and all that shit and get up front and park. Then if you get 6 months, they give you if you want, we have the offer. What are you doing waiting around in here? You better get your ass moving. Keep it. Why the steps talk about moving on? You want to be the miracle in the mirror, you got to stay on the journey. And how you stay on a journey with some joy, you talk about your joy, your pain, your suffering, your accomplishments, and you don't put yourself above nobody in the spiritual realm. Nobody. I don't care what you got, how many cars you drive, where you live at. That does not equal recovery. That's it equal that you can manage something. I ain't a good manager. I needed a new manager. So what keep my joy going is seeing y'all. I get juice from y'all. But see, I know God is in my life because I ain't be able to not get through anything in this program without coming unscathed or, you know, sometimes you lose part of your soul and shit in here. Love somebody real good and then don't want to let them go. You could be married doing this one, so don't look around. I've been married on this level too. But you know what? If I got an 8 and 9 step, I knew how to close something. A holding on, this means you holding on to something you need to let go. So that would make this a joy. If you knew, welcome. If you didn't understand a damn thing I said, it probably wasn't even you. It might have been a little bit of your denial. Because I think I have a clear, decisive message of hope. And if you don't know what it is, that addicts use the desire to lose and find a new way to live. That's our message. So if anybody else tell you any bullshit about what the message is, tell them I'm to read the basic text. That's the message. So I love you. I'm going to add a name, Larry. I'm going to keep coming back. All right.
Before Eric comes up to speak, we're not allowed to have people standing in the back or along the aisles or any of that. So if you want to stay for the meeting, please find a chair. We don't want to get in trouble with the fire marshal. And with that, I will give you Eric M.
I'm Eric and I'm an addict. Y'all looking good out there with your hair, dudes. Ocean City, get you up. Get you ready. I'm having a ball in recovery. When I got this topic, I said, it's a blessing that I've got some experience about enjoying life. Because when I was using, it's like Frankie Beverly said, joy and pain. The joy was when I had an ice cold beer, a hit, and an orgasm. The pain was waiting for all that shit to happen again. Yeah. And it don't happen that often. When you use like I use, you keep a bag because you gotta leave every 90 days. Because I'm real mean. When I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I was very angry. I'm the kind of brother that comes in your house and tell you what's going to take place in your house. And your man, fuck him. Yeah. Yeah. Your kids, I'm not babysitting. Do I have rent? No. Self-centered to the core. It's about me. It's always been about me. Narcotics Anonymous in the 12-step talks about getting to a place where I desire to be a charitable giver. That I don't give just because the program says it. But something has happened, has taken place inside that I really can't adequately explain it. Intellectually, I can't write it. I can't articulate it. The gift is that I show it through my walk. Now, when you're full of ego, when you're as arrogant as I was, perpetrating a fraud. When I got to Narcotics Anonymous in 1992, my image was so big, I used to lead a Friday night meeting, say I'll holler at y'all later, as if I had a fucking car. I am not as smart as most of y'all. I ain't gonna ask nobody for no ride. I got a fucking ride. Sick guy, man. Image. Don't have a place to stay. Don't have a car. But I want you to think, I'm much more than I am. And see, y'all say, because we're more alike than different. Yeah. I searched my whole life. There's a guy in Alexandria, Virginia, that talks about being love hungry. And the places you go to get it, to try to satisfy. Yeah. That's where the pain. It just came to me to kind of talk about my story. Talk about the pain and how the process has brought me some joy. And what kind of happened is that I was beat a lot. I was hungry a lot. You know, my neighbor, they had like peas, a bowl with biscuits. They would have like four or five different things on the table, and the table was set up beautiful. And in my house, you toast some bread or something. You ate a peanut butter jelly sandwich or something that you concocted together, right? And my mother, she was from the old school and she did what she was taught. I love her dearly, but she beat the shit out of me. And it did something to me. It made me angry. By the time I was 12, I said, you want to hit me now or later? Because I'm going to the goddamn go-go. They smoking weed. I'm a survivor of molestation. So I was having sex at the age of 12 every chance I got. Sex validated me. Right? My relationships consist of me and you having sex because I have never been taught the value of another human being's life. And it is the most valued piece of property that exists in the world today. Yet, it is the one that's looked upon and overlooked so much. That's why so many people are hungry, not just for food, but knowledge of God's will. I read something one time and it helped me understand why I have the problems that I have today. It says that many want to enter the kingdom, but few are willing to make the sacrifice. You got to give up something. So what, you been beat, Irk? So what, you been hungry? It's a fourth step for that shit. I know you're angry. I know you get mad. I know you'll commit murder. But is that hip? Is that cool? Yeah, I know what it's like to get angry enough to commit murder because I don't know how to deal with the woman who raped me, molested me. I don't know how to deal with that. I'm angry. You see? But when anger and the energy used, right, to fuel the anger and allow whatever to come out, you know, begin to show. When that energy is used to move towards spiritual principles, to develop a value system, then my life becomes purposeful. What happened to me is that I used at the age of 12, right? By the time I was 17, I was on the corner. I was poor, but it was necessary for me to steal and do everything I could do so that I could keep new tennis shoes on my feet. Kids in school thought that I came from a wealthy family. The truth of the matter is, when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I was in denial. I stole every day of my life. I wasn't a good kid. I got in everybody's business. If you was fighting somebody in school, I got in the middle of it. It's my business. See, I didn't know how to deal with my emotions, man. See, I really was mad at the ass whooping I got, and I couldn't take a bath last night because I had webs from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head, and I was stinging, and the shit hurt like hell. So now he gonna get this shit today in school. Yeah. Yeah. So what happened to me was the most beautiful thing, and for me in my mind when I go there, it's the most beautiful story I know of. I came here, and some people told me about unconditional love. I was in a treatment center for the last time in 1995. I went in there in April. My first sponsor, Ben, is here somewhere. But when I use, I rob people. I don't have time to go in grocery stores. None of that shit. I don't have time for that. Something inside to me tells me that because you have a couple murder beefs, I'm thorougher than you, punk. So I rob people who kill people. And so what happened was, they tried to kill me. None of the bullets hit me. So my first step is my proof that the Creator exists. Yeah. Mark L., who one of my predecessors and who was my grand sponsor who passed on, he said, man, find God in your story. Yeah. Well, you ain't hooked up to a machine, man. Follow your breathing. You'll find happiness. But you got to shut down, quiet down. You got to do something about lust and anger. You got to do something about resentment. You're going to hear from yourself, that fool that keep you in trouble. How do you hear from the Creator? You can't just sit still. You got to stop doing the things that don't allow you to sit still. So what happened was, this guy turned me on. The sponsor was so gracious, who's here today. Ben, he carried me around. He showed me what unconditional love was. So I'm riding in a truck, and I told him the truth. I said, we going down the street where I committed some crimes. I've committed a violent crime, right, in this area, and it was on my spirit. I needed to tell him that I really just robbed some dudes that tried to kill me 2 weeks ago. And he cussed me out real good. Motherfucker. You know, you put my life in jeopardy like this, man. You know? And the deal is that he told me you need to get off the street, man. Now. Grace. This program I went into, generally, you're incarcerated for a year. You're on a waiting list, 18 months. I made a phone call to my counselor. They had a bed for me the next day. Yeah. What kind of happened to me is that September 5th, 1996 was the last time I used anything. August 28th, I used after having 11 months, right? Had twins on the way, and I couldn't tell nobody. Shame and guilt. Shame and guilt because I'm so irresponsible. Why I won't put a condom on? Why does sex take prestige? Why is sex a priority? Sex is a priority. Money is a priority when you have nothing else in your value system. But I needed to build some coins up. I needed to get a value system worth something, right? How about this shit today? And this is the truth, man. I make a decision whether I want to have sex or not. I make a decision. A lot of times I don't feel like it. I'm not in a relationship. I'm single. It's just not necessary. I spend my whole life searching for happiness. in all the wrong places. So I'm going to tell you about this journey I got on. This guy took me around to meetings, told me real simple, why be in a program? Why be in a program and don't know nothing about it? Get involved. And then he was humble enough. I had some good guys in my life. He was humble enough to tell me one day, I said, man, what's this stuff in this book? I need to do this stuff here. I need you to sit down with me. Can you sit down with me every week? And he said, I don't have the time to do that. But look, there's some people in the program that can help you. And so my spirit told me to choose Walston. So I went to Walston. And I seen him standing at the podium, you know. He was talking about Everlast boxing gloves and shit. And, you know, dope fiend and all that. And, you know, I'm a crackhead, you know. But I could relate with the feeling. Right? He had 5 kids and I had 5. He repaired relationships and I wanted to repair them. He had a woman that he wasn't creeping out on. How do you do that? He was handsome, tall, curly hair. I said, shit. How you say no? You know what I mean? I don't care what y'all saying here. Tell me that shit. How you say no? Yeah. It said, when you get integrity, a value system, you get some self-worth. Most important, you have a vision. And you understand that bad choices take away from your vision. Right? Then you can start to manage your affairs better. What happened was, I'm getting to the old man now. A couple of years, I couldn't stop using. So one meeting, Walston ain't tell me nothing. We at this meeting, and he takes me on a Sunday morning over to this man's house. Now, I've seen the guy. This for some of y'all that's prejudiced in here, you know, they don't realize that this program is spiritual and that I'm a guy from the hood. And here's a guy who was a very intelligent man who had read probably 6,000 or 7,000 books, you know, didn't know his sexuality. One day it might have been one thing, one day it might have been another. Who cared? He was about 65 years old when I met him. He was taking like 20-something medications, and he was sitting in one room. He had no TV, no radio. He said, man, maybe this guy can help you. He had enough humility to let God help him understand that maybe this addict you can't help right now. Because he's still my sponsor. Walston's still my sponsor. He's sitting in here today. But what happened was the old man had time for me. So a lot of you are so busy that you don't have time to do the work to heal. One day a week. This is the kind of shape I was in. I'm not bragging. I don't do nothing consistent. What addict you know is consistent until he or she has a 12-step experience. Every Monday at 9 a.m., because it was my off day, me and the old man met. And he talked to me about HP. He said, I'm just a pipeline. I can't carry you. You have to build a relationship on your own. Let's get to the bottom of why you keep relapsing. He talked about the obsession and compulsion. He talked about addressing the thought with some courage. Pick up the phone. What happened was, here's the good stuff. I took the journey through the steps. I filed bankruptcy in here. I spent all of my money in my 401k plan because of my image on custody battles. Yeah. I didn't know when to give up. Because I had such a traumatic childhood, I was not going to let some fucking judge tell me that I could raise my kids 2 and 3 times, see them 2 and 3 times a month. So I'm going to hire an attorney. He's going to make sure I get the value time. If I want to go up to the school any given day, I'm going to go in that motherfucker. And I'm going to see what they're doing. And I'm going to show them that I'm here and that I love you. And that they're going to eat a full course meal. So what happened was, the old man took me through the journey, and we got busy. The first three steps was about a foundation. The third step, I love. Talking about a dependency on God. Well, I found God in the first step. HP, whatever you choose to call him. And you know what's so beautiful about Narcotics Anonymous? You ain't got to believe. You don't have to believe in God to get clean. I think it's significant after you be here a while to find something that you trust. But if you're in here now, don't get caught up in me talking about my high power and the love affair I have with him. Just keep getting on your knees and get with a sponsor that's going to put time with you. Get with a sponsor that's not screwing two and three people, but telling you to do something about your lust. Get a role model. I need somebody who knows how to stay at home. I need somebody who knows how to go back to school and get a degree. Who knows how to value their life through dignity. Right? So what happens is that I took that fourth step. I took the journey and I went inside. And I found out why I was so lustful. Well, all you knew was sex. Somebody was playing with you, a grown woman, when you was five. Yeah. That's why every woman you see, you want to just go have sex with her. That's why. Give yourself a break. Give yourself a break. Your sponsor's going to show you the process on how to get to a place where you can court women. Stay in the journey. So what happened was, I found out why I was so angry. And I found out I had a big heart. But I hid behind it. See, I'm a real angry dude in the street when I came up. I'm the guy on the corner that while y'all shooting dice, you know, my fear would have me start shooting guns and shit and laugh. I just don't want you to fuck with me. That's all. I ain't no gangster. I just don't want you to do what other people been doing to me all my life. But I gotta stop taking out on others. So how do I do that? Sound like I gotta get to some resentment prayers. Sound like I gotta get somebody off the hook, man. Sound like I gotta become entirely ready. So me and the old man, we sat down and we talked about what I wrote about before. We talked about all that stuff. And when I got to the difficult part, you know the part that you don't want to talk about. The part when my asset, when I worked since I was seven, and I had $300. It was this pretty burgundy Pooch moped, and everybody in the hood had one. And, you know, I was already kind of handsome, a little handsome little guy. So, but with a Pooch moped, you know, you might mess around and get the pastor's daughter. Yeah. So, I give my old man the 300. I'm 13. It's my asset now. My mama took me down to First Virginia Bank and taught me how to save money. Right? My daddy ain't give me no Pooch moped. He didn't say it out of his mouth, but he said, fuck you. I had to live in the same house with this man. Yeah. So, what I'm talking about, you know what I mean, is getting the difficult parts and having somebody experience enough to love you through it. Yeah. I'm talking about unconditional love. Joy is in a journey. You're teaching a guy who's angry, who's mad at the world, who don't understand how to look a woman in her eyes. But what is her cup size? That's all I'm interested in. Because my self-worth, I can't talk on her level. And my self-esteem feeds me that. Because I'm not practicing prayer and meditation. Because I'm not practicing healthy choices. Because I'm not telling my sponsor that she's married and I think I want to do something. So today, when I feel like that, I have a relationship with my sponsor. I say, man, this woman married, she keep messing with me and she can get it. When I share it with her, I'm done. I'm done. Oh, they go mess with that damn married woman. But guess what? If I don't tell them, and I brood on it, God damn, she. That's what's stealing. That's what's stealing time off the job. That's what manipulating the system at work. That's what manipulating everything in all your affairs. Anything you want to put in there. So, I got to the part where I began to have some satisfaction in this process. 6th and 7th step. Come entirely ready to get rid of what? I've got too much fear to let down my image. But ego will not allow you to serve what you believe in. So now you got to trust in the same God that made the bullets go in a different direction, that you can release, right, yourself, your burden of lust and anger. What happened is that I began to realize, I was sitting in a meeting in D.C., and it happened. I had a moment of clarity. I became entirely ready, sitting in a meeting. I had 4.5 years clean. And what I understood about becoming entirely ready, it simply meant that I was willing to do the work so that one day I could look up and the same things that ran my life, the same defects that had me satisfying my ego. Because my sponsor be telling me stuff. I say, I know. Somebody be telling me about something that I know a little bit of something about. I say, I know. Yeah. And I cut them off, start telling them what I know. That's a sign of arrogance and a lack of humility and a fear to admit that your ass don't know. I'm talking about me. I ain't talking about y'all. I learned a valuable lesson about humility. Humility is one of those spiritual principles that allows me to love in spite of people's shortcomings. The 7th step is necessary because there's going to be always something that I'm struggling with. The thing that I struggle with the most is self-doubt and gluttony. I go to the gym 5 days a week so that most of the time I could run off the binge of the 4 or 5 sandwiches I ate before I went to bed. Yeah. The 5 or 6 pieces of chicken that was left that I cooked about 7 or 8 pieces. And ain't nobody there. And I'm not willing to drop on my knees and practice 7 at that time. My sponsor said this, and I begin to live it. He said that, man, we don't get humble in situations. But we bring an attitude of humility to life. So that means when I get up and leave my house, I ought to have been prepared myself to have a channel flow to think about what I prayed about. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as thy will. Relieve me of the bondage of self. So what you pray, live it. Act like you asked him to relieve you of the bondage of self. If you think about something, why don't you pick up the phone and call somebody? Over time, you won't have to pick up the phone. You'll be laughing at the disease. I'll be like, motherfucker, you crazy. Shit sound good, but you crazy. I ain't doing that. I'm going to wrap this thing up. I had enough humility to write down the truth. A father who slept with his children, who I stood at in the kitchen, holding the table legs with my five siblings, watching him hold a pistol to my mother's head. I had to put him on a list. I needed humility to see that his friends told him how I was destroying the community. Didn't matter that he slept with his children. Didn't matter that I was hungry and he had a lot of money. Yeah. 1 through 7 got me to a place where I could right my wrong. I stole from a man. So what? I grew up in crap houses and my other five siblings, he never took to gambling houses. So what? Me and him had sex with women together. You got to get rid of that and find your purpose in life. And you don't just get rid of it right in the 4th step. Prayer and meditation every day prepares you to deal with situations come up that remind you of that. Now you see your vision and you can look at your vision and you can think about that and say, I'm shooting for that. The 9th step, I was able to say I was sorry. I was able to go to my mother and say I was sorry. I was able to go to that father. Not only say I was sorry, but I made restitution. I reached in my pocket. Yeah, he still owed me 300, man. He still owed me 300. Didn't he rob me of my childhood? It was his girlfriend who fucking raped me. Nah, the exact nature's of my wrong. Without petitioning God with a desire to be free to do his will, I cannot right my wrong despite the harm you caused to me. So now, I take an inventory. Now, I'm at a place in 10 where I decide when I want to have sex. Yeah, she sounds good and look good. Yeah. I talk about sex because sex ran my life. Runs a lot of your life, but you need the courage to tell somebody. So don't run my life to that. So in the 10th step, I pay attention to the things that allow me to be of service to whom I believe in. Have I prayed and meditated? Am I eating properly throughout the day so that I can keep myself away from getting depressed about my weight because my image? I was a high school football star. I grew up with a small waist, big chest. You know what I mean? And I'm supposed to be in tip-top shape because I really don't have a lot of self-esteem, so my body get me a lot of action. But now I got a gut. Yeah. 11th step, prayer and meditation. I started prayer and meditation and I was fortunate. At 18 months, and I'm not suggesting, I'm telling my story. At 18 months, I went to my sponsor and I said, it ain't enough. I was scared. I said, I want to do something else. And he was big on meditation. So he said, sit still. He said, practice quiet in your mind. He said, if you ever find happiness, it'll be on the journey of your airflow. Follow it through the bottom of your belly, and you'll find happiness. You'll shut the storm off if you pay attention to the flowers. So what happened is that meditation for me, is my experience, is not about listening to God's answers. Meditation and practicing meditation allows me throughout the day to do his will. See, I hear God when some of you are not speaking. When I do the work, I can be in the right place to serve. All that matters to me is to serve today. My sponsor always says, my life ain't mine. I talk to my sponsor at least 5 days a week with 10.5 years clean. I see him every week, not because he's some guru, not because he needs me, but because I value what he gives to me. So, the 12th step, spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, the transformation. What takes place? Come on, sponsor, tell me if I do 1 through 12, if I write and read, if I pray like you tell me to do every day, what am I going to get? You're going to get a profound transformation that has granted you happiness and joy as long as given is first and foremost in your life. So, I'm out of time. I want to say to the newcomer, the Narcotics Anonymous is an incredible journey. I shared the pain, but I did the work to get past the resentments. I let some people off the hook, man, and I found happiness. A 4th grade education. I'm in my 6th semester at a university. Thanks for letting me share.